Hey, Mr. Miyagi. I know it's been a few months, but better late than never, right? I've been thinking about you a lot lately. It's funny. When I was a kid, you seemed to always have all the answers, and I guess I thought when I got older, I'd have it all figured out, too. But now I just feel like I'm clueless. Makes me wonder, was it different for you, or were you just better at hiding it? Maybe that was it, huh? I feel like lately I've let my anger take control. You know me, I've always been a bit of a hothead, so... I really wish you could be here right now.
Everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Rima.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Jason.
And this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai season 1, episodes 5 and 6.
That's right, fellas. Girls can lead a podcast just like they can fight.
Or be in the army.
Yes. Right.
And not have tiny hollow bones.
Right. Pretty sure I don't have tiny hollow bones. I know they're not tiny. I don't know about how hollow they are, but.
Do you guys do kata in Krav Maga?
No, we do not. No. I would love to learn that, though. That it looks just very serene and looks very, like, kind of almost like meditative in a way, you know? So,
yeah, it looks like Tai Chi, the way he was doing it.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
I'm a little confused because I looked it up and I remember doing kata in karate, but I was, you know, just a little kid, so I didn't really remember the details of it. But, you know, basically it's just you have a set of forms that you practice over and over again so that they'll kind of be instinctive. And it is supposed to be fighting forms, I think, like blocking and punching and stuff like that. And the way they made it seem in this episode was that it was, because Robbie said, that didn't look like karate. And he goes, well, does a blueprint look like a car? Kata is the foundation of my karate. But I think it is actually supposed to be like fighting moves. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it. So, but it looked cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd never even heard of that before. I've heard of Tai Chi, hadn't heard of that before. So I was like, oh, you know.
Me either.
Learned something new.
I forgot to look it up. Thank you.
I had one that I used to do in karate that I would still do for years afterwards, but I tried it today and I've completely forgotten it.
Oh, wow. You out there practicing the crane kick?
Yeah. I can still do that.
The only kata I practice is raising the glass from the table to my mouth.
Barely even have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like a reflex.
Oh, what did you guys like about these two episodes? Richard, you want to go first?
Yeah, I actually, you know what? I still really enjoyed them, but I think they're my least favorites because they're kind of like, I don't know. I saw them as kind of like, it was kind of like setting stuff up for future episodes. So it was, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's like, the second or third time I've watched them, but they seemed a little slower than the others, but I still enjoyed them. I mean, I wouldn't say I hated them, obviously. They're just probably my least two favorite episodes so far. But having said that, there was a lot of things I did like about them. I'll get into it with our highlights.
I think you're crazy.
What did you think, Jason?
No, I liked him a lot. I mean, mostly because I feel like that fight with Miguel was mm-hmm. like the culmination of all his lessons with Johnny so far. And, you know, it was a super cool fight for this show. You know, I thought it was pretty awesome. So that was a high point for me. But I'm kind of just kidding, though. I can see what you mean about setting things up and stuff. But I thought they were great. I like the fighting. I like Sam and Miguel as a kind of getting together as a couple. It's like, I like both those characters and both actors. They make a good couple. And I like all the stuff with Daniel and everything. So, yeah, I really liked it. Both of them.
Cool. I agree with both of you. I think it was slightly slower paced, maybe. I mean, this show moves kind of fast, but it was still slightly slower, I felt. And like you said, Richard, kind of was setting some things up. So that means the next couple should be, you know, pretty exciting and really moving things forward. But it's definitely some fun moments. That fight was really great. I was definitely, you know, kind of raised up cheering Miguel on. I love a good fight. So I agree with you both. Can't really add to a lot of what you said.
Yeah. So. You don't think you realize how fast the show moves until an episode like this where they have to slow down and focus on some character building, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. There was a little bit of character building happening too, so, which was good. I mean, we have to have some of that, right?
Yeah.
Can't move too fast. So, awesome. All right. Well, are you guys ready to jump into the top three?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, Richard, do you want to start us off with your number three?
I do. Let's see. Number three, I'm going to give a shout out to Amanda, Daniel's wife.
Mm-hmm.
I can identify with this because Amanda's a lot like my wife. she's, I would describe her as the only adult, really, in this show.
Right.
Like, everybody's acting like a stupid kid. She's like, she's constantly solving everyone's social problems.
Yeah,
and she's and emotional issues, and she's pointing out the error in our ways. You know, she reminds, like I wrote down a couple examples. She reminds Daniel that his actions have consequences when he called Sal and to get the rent raised on Johnny's dojo. It's like, well, what about the other people in the other spaces? And he's like, oh yeah,
sorry.
she protects Robbie from her moron cousin-in-law at work who keeps playing jokes on him. New guy mm-hmm. stuff. Kind of mothers him a little bit. She dispenses valuable and high-quality advice to Samantha. That's true. In fact, one of my daughters' names is Samantha, too. And my wife does the same thing with her.
So
what was the
cool
advice?
Couple of parallels. She just gives valuable and high-quality advice.
Yeah, I forgot what she said.
It wasn't in these episodes. It was in the beginning.
In this, I mean, in this episode, she said, maybe it's better you're not hanging out with those girls anyway.
Yeah. Stuff like that. You know. She's like the Miyagi of this series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, that like when Daniel goes to Miyagi's grave and he says, you know, when I was younger and you were older, you seemed like you were wise and you had it all together. And I thought, when I grew up, I'd feel the same, but I'm lost, and now I wonder if you were just pretending. And now when you say his wife seems like it, I'm like, yeah, she's the only one who seems like she has it all together.
He needs that, I guess. He's a hothead.
Mm-hmm.
Which he alludes to in this episode, in these episodes. He says outright, I can be kind of a hothead. So I was like, hey, yeah, it's true.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's great that he has self-awareness, you know. I mean, he's lucky to have his wife there to inject some reason into it and shake him up a little bit, but then he, you know, he sees it too.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It cracked me up when they were talking about Daniel wanting to practice karate with her, and she's like, no, I don't think so. And then she eyeballs Anthony. Remember the last time we tried karate, we ended up on the mat, and look what happened. And she looks over at Anthony. Kind of like, that was a mistake.
Yeah. I know.
That kid's a dumbass.
I know. It was a little bit of like, oh, we couldn't focus, and you know, it was, we ended up sleeping together, but it was, yeah, also a little bit like, we ended up with this guy.
All she wanted was a massage.
Right.
Those are good points.
He's man, this little kid is nothing but annoying.
Yes.
What did he do? He like was drinking butter.
Stop drinking the butter.
Maybe he's on keto. And he ordered a PS Vita from their Alexa. That's pretty funny.
That was hilarious because if you listen closely in the background, Alexa goes, PS Vita ordered.
Mm-hmm. Cancel.
Daniel couldn't stop it.
That thing would be going back. Returned.
I know. What a little brat.
Yeah. Those things aren't cheap.
Yeah, there's got to be some development with him, you would think.
Is he the comic right relief? Now, what is he?
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know. They need to send him away to military school or something.
Something.
Homeschool him.
That was great. Do you have anything else to add, Richard? Anything else on your number three?
No, just a shout out to Amanda. She's cool. Go, I can identify.
Go moms. Yeah. That's awesome. What about you, Jason? What's your number three?
Revenge.
Yay! No.
Yeah. Exactly. No. There's a few different cases of people either enacting revenge or in the process of it. My favorite was Miguel's revenge against Kyler, as I mentioned. The fight was cool, and Kyler, I mean, he's not hiding it anymore. He announces in the cafeteria that Samantha went down on him in a movie theater or whatever, which I wonder if he got that from the Alanis Morissette song or if the writers did. And he's like, you know that billboard? I guess Sam takes after Dad. So it looked like she was about to fight him. She pushed his tray off the table.
I wish she had.
Yeah. And, you know, we might see some of that coming up in the series. But for now, Miguel gets in there. And I noticed that they made a point to show him in a lot of the same situations that he'd been practicing with Johnny. Like Miguel, Kyler got him in a chokehold, just like the one Johnny was getting him out of. And he tried to tap out, you know. And he did the same thing. He elbowed him in the ribs and then twisted his arm. He punches him in the face. Then he swept his leg just like he was practicing with Johnny.
Sweep the leg.
And he's using all his kicks that he's learned. And then there were some impromptu moves, which are really fun, like kicking this chair towards one of the guys and whacking them with a lunch tray and stuff like that. So it was just cool because you could see that all his training has been leading up to that fight. And then everyone in the cafeteria cheering him, and Sam, the girl he wants to impress, looking up in admiration. It's just like, total glory.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Everybody would have been recording awesome.
It. Yeah.
Their phones. Yeah. Everybody had then their phones out.
The party pooper guidance counselor comes in. But I was thinking it would have been awesome. I mean, this is immature and horrible, but it would have been awesome to see that kind of a fight in high school. Like the fights we saw were sweaty and sloppy, not like cool like that.
No.
Do you remember seeing any, Rich?
Yeah, I remember seeing a couple of football players getting a fight out in the parking lot before school started, and they were really punching hard on each other. But one of the campus supervisors came running out and broke it up before anybody got too bloody. But it was pretty close to the kind of fight. Well, not really. I mean, it was the closest, you know, it was still pretty far off. There was no kicks or anything, but they were landing some pretty good punches.
I mean, I remember seeing one fight with two girls where they were just clawing and kind of ripping each other's clothes, and it was bleeding and, you know, throwing each other to ground and stuff. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. Girl fights are horrible. They really want to hurt each other.
The best fights in my school were the girl fights. The guy fights were just really bad. They would kind of just, one of them might throw the other to the ground, or they'd kind of have their heads kind of like bedded into each other's shoulders and trying to like get some side punches in, like, and like kid near the side. And I'm like, that's lame. Come on, let's get something going. But the girls, there was one girl fight, and this was in middle school, mind you, where one girl, they were kind of, it was in the gym. And they were on the bleachers, and one girl threw another girl off the bleachers. She just like rolled right down the bleachers and then ran down after her and started punching her in the face. And that was awesome. And then there was another one in the library where one of the girls, and this happened to be one of my best friends, she was the aggressor and winner of that one. But she had one girl, and she was banging her head in the in one of the tables in the library. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. So we had some really good girl fights, but the guys' fights were lame. So, yeah, but nothing is cool as this one. No cool karate kicks. Nobody knew any martial arts or anything
jumping
like that. They were like street fights. Yeah, they weren't like super cool, but they were like way more interesting and fun to watch than the guy fights. I'll say that.
You know what happens now when you get in a fight in school and you record and the other kids are recording it? They go after the kids that are recording it now, and they get suspended from
school. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, you're not allowed to record the fights?
Nah, they're trying to put a stop to it because then it gets posted to social media and then the parents get all pissed off.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, good thing we didn't have cell phones.
Well, so he goes back and tells Johnny, and Johnny's like, all four of them? Even that big dumb one? He's like super proud, and he's like, it all just came together. I was blocking. I anticipated. I slithered. Like a cobra. And then the Johnny gives him his gi with a Cobra Kai logo on it that he wore when he was training for his tournament, which is kind of like when Miyagi gave that patch to Daniel. So that was a nice moment.
Yeah.
Then we have Daniel's revenge against Johnny. So he has this really convoluted plan to invite Johnny's Cobra Kai landlord to the country club, offer to buy the strip mall knowing he won't sell, and tell him he's getting less than market rate for rent just so he'll jack up Johnny's prices and force him out. I don't know, that was pretty convoluted, and I wondered, why was the guy only charging half the market value for rent, and how did Daniel know that he wouldn't say yes to the offer and that he was paying less than market value? It was a bit convoluted, but anyway, the point is that Daniel just really wanted to screw Johnny over, and I'm like trying to figure out why. I think it's in part because he's just, you know, he still has Cobra Kai PTSD, and he's really critical of Johnny's teaching methods and Cobra Kai's methods, and doesn't want Johnny corrupting kids. So it's kind of a noble idea, but you know, like somebody else, I think it was Daniel, said to Robbie later, things aren't always what they seem. So he shouldn't just assume that it's as bad as he thinks it is. But also, I think the big thing is he's still really pissed about Johnny painting a dick on his face.
Right. He mentions that at home.
Yeah, he does.
He put a dick on my face.
Right. And then he rubs it in Johnny's face in the convenience store, which was a huge dick moment.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about your rent going up. And then he pays for his beer, which was completely condescending.
That is diabolical, man.
And that was, you know, when he gets home, his wife says, somebody's in a good mood. And he goes, somebody got some payback, which kind of reminded me of when he poured water on Johnny's head in high school for payback, too.
in the bathroom.
Yeah,
at the Halloween party. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
And then last, two more. Aisha wants revenge, and so that's why she's there to learn karate. And I loved when she told Johnny about the cyberbullying, and he's all, oh my God, what a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
Back in my day, if you wanted to tease someone, you did it to their face. There was honor.
Right.
Unique take on it, huh?
And then he says, when I'm done with you, you're not going to be sending a message with your keyboard. It's going to be with your fist. And she's got this kind of smile on her face.
Yeah.
So that's another instance of, you know, how in the original Karate Kid, you're kind of supposed to think Cobra Kai's bad, and you still kind of are here too, but you can't help but be pumped by certain things. Like when he said that to her, you're like, yeah, get him back. That's how I felt anyway. And then the last one's just real quick, but Robbie, he gets a job at LaRusso Auto just as a way of getting revenge on his dad, because he knows Johnny hates Daniel and that'll get to him.
Right, yeah.
So I guess it's fitting in a movie about karate that you find ways for all the characters to want to seek revenge on the other characters.
I guess the overall message is that karate will solve all your problems, huh? Just kick everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Everybody go learn karate.
think Amanda might not agree with that.
Yeah, she's the only one.
Although, when Daniel finally did chill out and, you know, went to Miyagi's grave and decided to seek balance and went back and started fixing up his studio, she saw that and she seemed happy about it. I guess she sensed that it was about balance and not like more figuring out ways to get at somebody.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all for mine, yeah.
Good, number three. Well, my number three is just basically being out of balance. And, you know, a lot of what Miyagi taught in Karate Kid to Daniel was about, you know, being in balance. And it wasn't just balance in karate. You know, he was teaching him how to balance, like when he was up on the boat and, you know, doing his different moves, how to balance, but it was also balance in life. And it seemed, I guess, you know, that Daniel carried that out through most of his life, but seems to have gotten off track a little bit, especially when Johnny, you know, reopens the dojo and you know, like you said, Jason kind of brings out that PTSD again a little bit, and he's determined to not let Johnny, you know, teach kids the same that Kreese taught him. And so he, you know, I really thought that was pretty unfair of what he was doing, using his influence, you know, to try to, you know, get the rent raised. Cause like his wife pointed out, you know, did you not even think of the other people in that strip mall? And, you know, what were you thinking? You've done all of these things, you know, these last couple of weeks since that dojo opened. And, you know, she gives him hell for it, like you pointed out, Richard. And she tells him that she wants her husband back. And, you know, when he goes and visits, Mr. Miyagi's grave, which I thought was, you know, I hate to say nice. It wasn't nice because he's dead. So that's not nice. But I mean, nice that he, you know, still goes out there and you know, talks to him. And he, you know, says he hadn't been out there in a while. And he's, you know, kind of wishing he was there to give him some of that advice. And then it seems like when he gets home, he realizes that what he needs to do is kind of get that space fixed back up. I don't know if that's like a pool house or what kind of area that is back there. Where he had, you know, all of that set up, probably where he was, you know, teaching Sam, you know, karate and stuff when she was little.
They were using it for storage. There's a bunch of kids' toys that were went from when they were younger and stuff. Yeah, of course.
Happens. Storage and toys and things you don't use anymore and you don't have anywhere else to put it. There it goes. So it makes sense. But yeah, it was nice to see him get that all fixed up and kind of put Mr. Miyagi's picture back up and kind of have just a nice, peaceful, serene place for him to start practicing again. And you can kind of see how it transforms him a little bit, you know, to where he seems a little bit more at peace.
Chilled out
with himself. Yeah. And it was really cool to kind of see him put his old headband back on that Mr. Miyagi gave him, and he had his old gi, you know, back on and stuff. And that was, you know, kind of a cool moment. But, you know, I wondered, with as much as when he was pushing Johnny, when he went to, like, as he's pushing to get his rent raised, so he's forced to close it down. And then he goes and kind of rubs it in his face when they're there in the convenience store. And I thought, you know, how much of, you know, Daniel's pushing and prodding at Johnny keeps reinforcing what Johnny does. You know, it's like he's kind of feeding it a little bit too. Yeah. It's like the more that he pushes at Johnny and, you know, tries to get back at him instead of letting it go, I feel like it drives Johnny even further.
When Obama made fun of Trump and then Trump became president just to get back at Obama.
Right.
Okay.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah. Well,
I think Trump would like this show. Kind of like, probably, like bullies and beating people up to get what you want.
It's badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what else too is Daniel, he sort of gets a grip on himself and decides to chill out and seek balance, but he doesn't go back and try to rectify what he did to Johnny. And Johnny just happened to, it's fortunate for Johnny that everyone saw Miguel kick ass at school and wanted to, let's go learn karate from his teacher. So that's probably why, I guess, he still has enough money to keep going, even though the rent got doubled.
Yeah. And he's subletting the place out to those yoga ladies.
The yoga.
Yeah. Yoga man.
Which I love. Changed the energy in here. I loved how quickly they got into it.
I know.
Just like 10 seconds and all of a sudden it's a whole different vibe.
Hey, they're paying for their hour, man. They're going to jump in there and take that time. It's awesome. Well, that's all that I had for my number three. So, Richard, what do you have for your number two?
Number two was Mr. Miyagi. Aww. I liked seeing him again. My highlight's not very long, but, you know, they talk about it. Daniel's whole life revolves around him and his life lessons. I think, you know, he's in the background in some form or fashion in every episode. But when he was on screen this time, I was surprised at myself at how good it was to see his face again. I had a big old smile mm-hmm. on mine. I was like, hey, it's Mr. Miyagi!
Aww.
That was cool. The clip that they showed, you know, with Daniel turning 17 in that nice 48 Ford that he gave him. Mm-hmm. That clip that they showed was old. I don't know if they did that on purpose or what, but it felt old and, you know, had crappy audio and it played just like a memory would, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh yeah, he's remembering Mr. Miyagi. And then he went, like you mentioned, he went to the place where he's buried. What the hell is that called? Cemetery. He went to the cemetery. Yeah. And got the whole life lesson again about bringing balance to his life. So that was cool. It's cool to have Mr. Miyagi back. I was starting to forget what he looked like, to be honest with you.
It
brings back some of that, the heart of the original movie, and I mean, all that, like seeing Miyagi and hearing him talk to him, and then as Rima mentioned, when he put on his headband and his gi, and they played the same music with the pan flutes and everything, and then when he started doing his kata, they played the triumphant music, and there was a part of me that when they really poured on the triumphant music from the end of the first Karate Kid. Da, 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 da. Mm. I was like, that's a little much, but I'm all in. I don't care.
It was a little subtle, though. Just a little subtle. It wasn't too like in your face like the movie was or anything. So it was a nice
They just
touch.
Know that, yeah, everybody's like, oh, look, Daniel's back doing his karate. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Miyagi smiling down upon him. He had that picture he put up in his dojo, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi. But it's weird how seeing his face in real life, well, not in real life, but, you know, animated on screen is so much more, I don't know, personal, so much more powerful than just a photo or just mentioning him. So I thought that was cool. See Mr. Miyagi
Absolutely.
Again.
Yeah. And they had a nice little in memoriam to him at the end of that episode, mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the episode was dedicated to him. Huh?
Yeah,
and his let's see, his grave. It says Nariyoshi Miyagi, June 29th, 1925 to November 15th, 2011. Beloved husband, father, teacher, and war hero, 442nd Regiment, received Medal of Honor. I thought it was interesting that his birthday is 7 years earlier than Pat Morita, 1925 versus 1932.
Yeah.
So Miyagi's older.
They fudged that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just wanted him to be older, and probably Pat Morita, he did seem to play it older than he really was. You know, when he was playing Arnold, he was a little more like scrappy. And when he was playing Miyagi, he was just a little more, I don't know, chill.
He looks older than he is. Well, I thought he did. He was only in his 50s, right? In the movie, he looked like he was in his 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or 60s anyway.
Cool. All right. Jason, what's your number two?
My number two is Mercy is for the Weak, which you get some insight into Johnny's thinking. He is pushing it really far with his students in a lot of ways. Physically, poor Miguel's getting baseball shot at him, choked, elbowed in the face, his own thrown to the ground. And then he has Miguel attack Aisha on her first day of class, kicks her, and then she tackles him and like jumps on him with her knee. Arr! he's all beat up. And then verbally, like, so a lot of it was funny, but some of it even was like, oh, really? You know, like, come on, like saying the guy, what about you with your tits hanging out to this fat kid, you know?
Or, he's like, hey, nice shirt. Just kidding. It sucks.
Yeah. Or say, I love where he goes to Aisha, I appreciate you coming in, but there's no girls in Cobra Kai. Why not? Same reason there aren't women in the army.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
It's a little out of date.
Yeah. I swear it's like he's in the Hot Tub Time Machine or something. And then, yeah, I mean, just all kinds of like word of advice. If you got shit for teeth, don't smile. Yeah. God, when I look at you, it makes me feel like a virgin. Where terrible. Is everybody? The next day, half of them don't show up. Where's everybody? Crater face, nose ring, slingshot. They quit, sensei. And then, of course, there's, you know, Eli, who he's just harping on for his lip. Like, that's what you look like. You know, you looked worse before, and just keeps calling him the lip and everything. And, you know, the show is about bullying. We see Samantha getting bullied because there's a rumor that she gave a blowjob. So you see pictures of her with her mouth full of sausages and shit like that. And you can really align this. I mean, but according to Johnny, oh, those guys are pussies. I would do it, tease people to their face. And I think, you know, a lot of it with him is that he says, you know, you guys are weak and you got to be strong. And to be strong on the outside, you need to be strong on the inside. And you're not going to be able to control what other people say to you. So you need to be able to deal with it. And I mean, I'm thinking about all this stuff. I personally think that PC culture has gone too far. And I mm-hmm. do think that people, you know, it would be easy to have people be oversensitive and have just a couple of words, you know, just you break down because of it. And on the other hand, I also think that we need to learn to be more sensitive towards people who aren't like us and to be empathetic and accepting of people who aren't like us and not just write people off just because they don't do things the same way you do or they're different from you. So I can see both sides of it. With Eli, who became Hawk, you know, it seemed to turn him around. Like he decided, I'm going to do what Johnny said, flip the script, you know, just to pull the attention somewhere else. And I do think it's a good idea sometimes if you have what's perceived as a weakness to just kind of feature it or don't shy away from it. So it's really interesting because I think there's a part of me that's totally on board with Johnny. Like, yeah, man, don't you just teach them to be strong in the face of all this stuff. Although I do also feel like that's kind of an excuse that he's using just because he likes to be able to bash on people, you know. And you see with his dad who bashed on him and treated him like shit, and then he goes and looks through the window of Cobra Kai and just like Daniel did in Karate Kid and sees Kreese with his, you know, first strike hard or whatever he was saying. Mm-hmm. And it's the only difference is Daniel saw Johnny Lawrence in there, so he had to run away. But anyways, my pop psychology is that that Johnny was drawn to Kreese because you're kind of drawn to what you're comfortable with, and since his dad treated him like crap, he was drawn to that part of Kreese, and then he ended up being kind of a bully himself because that's another thing that happens is you repeat the patterns that you were subjected to when you were younger. So it's really interesting that this show, which could be written off as this kind of light comedy, has all this psychology and levels to it that I think are really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can get pretty deep. You know, it's like with great responsibility or with great power comes great responsibility, because you teach these kids to defend themselves. You give them huge amounts of self-confidence and they become the assholes and they become the dicks. You know, right. You gotta be a good teacher. You gotta be able to draw a line on the floor and say, okay, you know, once you have the confidence and the know-how and the power and the ability, you got to stop it right here, you know. But I don't think Johnny is that good of a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Misguided. I think he's got the right idea that if you can teach kids somehow to not be fazed when a bully is talking shit about them, which Samantha's good at, like she's doing a pretty good job of letting all that roll off. I mean, she's upset about it, but she'll even bring it up. Hey, I got this banana in my backpack. Do you want it? Because you know what the rumor is. And she's not ruined or wrecked by it. But anyways, my point is, if you could teach kids to roll with that and be centered in the face of it and not repeat it, then you're doing right. And probably not the way to do it is by mentioning to fat kids that his tits are hanging out or stuff like that.
I know, it's so sensitive.
He's got good intentions, but
yeah, they call him the snowflake generation, right? Yeah, you give everybody a trophy and then you have all the expectations and the privileges, and then he's like, I kind of agree, you know, maybe they need to be brought down a notch, but how do you do that? It's not complicated.
Yeah, I mean, I want my kids to have empathy for people that aren't like them and not to write people off or label people. But I also don't want my kids to be so sensitive that if someone calls them a name, they start crying.
Right, yeah.
That's a hard balance to find.
That's my goal.
Yeah, that's good luck to you. That's hard. not that it can't be done, but yeah. You know, and I feel like Johnny was pretty rough on those kids, but, and you know, he was kind of right in what, maybe he didn't execute it right, but the way that he's thinking is right. You know, when Dimitri's like, well, you can't make fun of people for their physical appearance. And Johnny's like, well, that's what they teach you in school, but you know, people in the real world don't always follow those rules. And he's right, because people are still going to pick on you and bully you, whether you are in school or not. And most likely in school, because kids are assholes, to be honest.
Yeah, they are.
So they're going to do it anyway. And so I feel like if you have, you know, that armor built up, and this is something I kind of remember from Game of Thrones, and I hope this doesn't spoil anyone, Richard, I don't know if you've watched the show, and I don't think this is too spoilery, but a line from Tyrion Lannister as he's talking to Jon Snow, you know, and he calls him a name, which I won't repeat because it might be spoilery, I don't know, but he tells him, you know, to wear it like armor, because if and I'm paraphrasing, I won't get it right because it's been a while since I've seen it.
It's in the first episode, I think you can say it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is in the first episode. Well, I don't remember it very well, so I'll still be paraphrasing because I don't.
Well, he calls him a bastard.
Okay, him a bastard. So he's like, he tells him to wear it like armor, and so people can't hurt him with it. And you know, if he's not bothered by it, then people can't hurt him with it. And I feel like that's kind of what Johnny was trying to do. Is like, if you can, you know, take that and hear that, and not allow yourself to be, you know, if someone else calls you that, it won't bother you. You know, and you won't react, and you won't run away, and you won't cry, and you won't be a pushover over it. Doesn't necessarily mean you just got to like punch them in the face if they do that. I'm not encouraging the fighting like he does, you know, where you strike first and strike hard. But, you know, I feel like it's good to kind of teach kids to kind of have some kind of defense, you know, against bullies like that, in case they have something that's different about them, or even if there's not. I mean, kids are just mean, and you don't even have to have a whole lot different about you. Kids will find something to make fun of you and pick on you about. So I don't know. I kind of see his, what he was trying to do, just maybe his methods were not the best.
Hey, Rich, when you look around at your students, what kinds of kids handle the social landscape the best?
The girls.
And how do they do it?
They're just way more mature than boys, and they've built a relationship usually with one of their parents, if not both of them, or even extended family, whereas boys, you know, they just drool all over themselves and kind of wander aimlessly. Boys have to be told what to do, whereas girls kind of figure it out first.
What about like the
glue
bullying
that holds everything together? They really are.
I mean, like Rima's saying, you know, kids are cruel to each other. Do the girls handle that better?
Yeah, but they also do it more. Like boys are too dumb to figure out how to bully somebody online, whereas girls are just diabolical. I mean, they'll do it in real subtle ways. We're taught, as teachers, we're taught to see some of the signs. Like, I remember the counselor coming in and giving us a talk about how to watch for girls that are... One example is, like, on the quad or during recess, girls will put their arms around another girl and just kind of walk her around, and it looks like they're being lovey-dovey, but they're actually whispering terrible things into her ear as they're doing it. So it's like,
oh wow,
God,
man, you know, whereas boys just walk up and punch each other in the face. It's
See, I like that better. I like just a straightforward, you know, just, you know, get up in your face
physical
and say what you don't like. And yeah.
Direct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're much more conniving. And the girls, they'll gang up too. They'll gang up on another. Whereas the boys, usually there's, you know, they're kind of lone wolves.
You're
rough, man. When I was a substitute teacher for a year, junior high was definitely the level where the kids were, they're the most insecure, and so that just made it a hotbed of cruelty and just being mean to each other and picking on each other and not wanting to stand out for fear that they'll get picked on and stuff like that.
Yeah, like when you ask kids at the middle school level, excuse me, what's your favorite superpower, or what superpower would you like to have, almost like 99% of them say invisibility. You know, they want to be able to disappear.
Wow,
man,
it's rough, man. I don't want to go back to that age.
Yeah, I know. I never want to go back to that age.
I don't mind high school, but would not want to go back to middle school
high.
Or
me
anything
too.
Yeah,
same.
Have you guys ever been bullied?
I can't remember. I've been picked on. We moved to a tougher town when I was in third grade, and I definitely got physically picked on. And it's like you said, it was, God, it was when the boys did it, it was more of a just fight, you know. I'd get in a fight. I got in like 3 or 4 fights in third grade, just trying to mind my own business. But there was this one girl I remember who I had a crush on. And I think she knew it. And I forget what she said, but she's like, follow me, I want to show you something, or something like that. And she took me around the corner where the teachers couldn't see. And there was a guy there waiting to fight me.
Oh, jeez.
Just broke my heart, man.
Diabolical, man.
I know. That was rough. Wow.
I have not been bullied. I don't see it as bullying so much, but there was, whenever I was a freshman in high school, and I was a new kid at the school. I just started in 8th grade, so I was at the middle school, and then started high school at the high school. It was separate. And so as a freshman, and I'm, you know, still the new kid in town, and there was a girl who was a sophomore who got up in my face thinking that I was talking to her boyfriend, which I was not. But she, you know, apparently had heard word, you know, word on the street and all. And so, I mean, I didn't back down from her. I'm like, well, I'm telling you what's, you know, that's not true. So you either get out of my face or do something about it. And she just stared at me and walked away and never heard from her again.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was like, I mean, look, I might get my ass kicked, but I'm not going to back down from anyone. I've always been taught from my family that, I mean, I've got a pretty rough and tumble redneck family, and we all kick each other's ass. And I grew up with older cousins, and you know, I was always,
so they're like
Johnny's
for you.
I mean, yeah. I mean, did I get bullied from my family? Yes, I did. No,
I mean, if I'd known karate, I could have kicked that kid's ass. Damn it.
Yeah. So, I was always raised not to back down from anyone, and I got picked on enough from my family to, you know, I could take shit. But I wasn't, you know, I was like, well, I might get hit and might get my ass kicked, but I was almost bigger than everyone too. I never got into a physical fight because I was like the tallest kid around and the biggest kid, so never a physical fight. But so that was pretty much it. No one ever really messed with me.
What about you, Rich?
Nice. You know, I don't think if I did get bullied, I don't remember it because I got. We have a mutual friend, Spencer.
Fights.
Yeah, he's always talking about how I was blessed with this personality where stuff just rolls right off and nothing ever sticks, which is both it's a blessing and a curse, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, if it was, it was short and sweet, and I don't remember it. I've been in a few fights, but not even that many. Probably fewer than most other boys. I've kind of had a charmed life, to be honest.
You seem so easygoing. I can't imagine anybody having a problem with you, Richard.
Well, you know, I remember one time I was talking with our friend Dan, and he was like, yeah, you got this strange personality where you're just calm and collect and always chilled. And I'm like, yeah, I think it's because I'm my own worst critic. Like, whatever somebody has ever said to me, I've said a lot worse to myself. Mm. You know what I mean?
So they're like, you loser.
And yeah, like if I make a mistake, I'm just like, you son of a, what an idiot. Jesus Christ, were you born stupid or did you learn that?
Didn't you knock the tray out of Tim's hand and he wanted to fight you or something?
Yeah, that was like in third grade. I ran up behind him and I meant to grab his sack lunch, but instead the bag broke and his lunch just spewed out everywhere on the blacktop. And he got so mad he punched me in the stomach. And even then I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I didn't hold it against him. I don't even remember it hurting. I was just like, I felt so bad. I was like, I'm sorry, man. I'll buy you lunch.
They're best friends now.
Funny. Well, my number two, it's pretty short because we've kind of talked about it already, or at least part of it. Excuse me. One part. Now, I laugh a lot at what Johnny says. But when he got in Aisha's face and was like, you know, don't act like a girl and girls can't fight and, you know, can't be in the army and all this other stuff. Oh, man, that got my feathers all ruffled up. because that just is so not true.
And I mean, he's so ridiculous that it's funny mostly, but every once in a while he'll say something where it's like, oh, dude.
Sets him back. Yeah. Like he takes like a step forward and then he goes two steps back. And I feel like that's kind of, at least with me, that's what he did in this scene. I was like, gosh, damn it, Johnny. You know, quit being an asshole. Yeah, yeah. But I feel like he kind of, you know, once he had a little bit of a change of heart, whenever Miguel talked to him and was like, you know, hey, she's being bullied and, you know, kids are really mean to her online, and kind of explained it a little bit. And when he came back and, you know, again, said, well, back in my day, if you want to tease somebody, you did it to their face. There was honor. There was respect. This to me was like somehow so close to being an actual breakthrough, but yet simultaneously miles away at the same time for Johnny. I was like, you're almost there. That's about as close as what he's going to get. Because he actually, you know, kind of made a face whenever she's like, you know, kids, you know, bully me online and they call me names and then they tell me I should kill myself. And he's like, oh, my God. And then he does instantly look horrified there for just a moment. Yeah, absolutely. So, maybe. Yeah, I'm hoping anyway. Yeah, we'll see as we continue. But I really liked how he did include her, you know, after talking to Miguel and realizing, oh, yeah, well, we do need people. we need paying customers. And then I really liked it, though, that. Yeah. And I did like where he was telling Miguel, you know, don't treat her like you said, girls are equal. So,
yeah, right.
You know, maybe I don't know if I agreed so much with like unleashing Miguel, who's
on her first day.
Yeah, on her first day.
It's better than the opposite, where if he would have been like, oh, be careful with her and don't treat her with kid gloves and everything.
Yeah, I don't like that. I tell, because I spar with men in my class. And, you know, if they, you know, well, if I'm wearing my mitts and they have their gloves and we're sparring and they're like punching my hands, but you know, I'm wearing those mitts. And then there's kicking, and sometimes if you're off and they don't hit my mitt, but they kick my leg or something, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'm fine, it's okay. Don't lay off me. And they think they have to be really careful with me because I'm a girl. I'm like, don't treat me like a girl. You know, that's, you know, I don't want, I mean, if I'm out on the street and I get attacked by someone, they're not gonna care that I'm a girl. You know, they're out to hurt me. I need to I need to be able to defend myself against those things. So, you know, I hate being treated like a girl. Don't treat me like I'm, you know, some gentle little piece of fluff or something. So it bugs me. So I did like that part. So anyway, that's my number two.
Cool.
All right. So we're at our number ones. Richard, what's your number one?
Numero uno. You know what? My number one is kind of a take on what you guys are talking about with revenge, except I see it more as like a balance. Like I'm going to try and modify this here. It's like the writing of the show, right? It kind of follows, like the writers are following Miyagi's teachings of bringing balance to one's life. It's like for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction in the show. You know, there's a counterbalance. For example, Daniel, this is what I'm thinking. Daniel wants to, you know, stop this whole Cobra Kai movement. And then he realizes his error when he tried to raise the rent. So instead, he went back to his kata karate, you know. So him bringing that back, as Johnny's bringing back the Cobra Kai, there's a balance there. And then you got other examples too, like Robbie. He goes to work for the LaRussos, like Jason was saying, mm-hmm. for revenge. But it's almost an exact counterbalance from what, you know, how Johnny's taking Miguel under his wing, treating him like a son. And so on and so forth. You got Johnny's rent is increased, so he gets more students, you know, and subleases the studio. Samantha was popular at school. Now she's not. Miguel was a nobody, and now he's somebody. And they're starting a relationship. Robbie's mom is completely self-absorbed and kind of whorish, you know, but Amanda is, yep, like the perfect mom and wife. There's a whole mm-hmm. balance to this show that the writers are implementing, and it's cool how it kind of works out and follows Miyagi's teachings.
And there's shifting, though, like some things shift one way but other things shift other way. And yeah, the show, I mean, Karate Kid the movie was very imbalanced. It was in some ways in because Daniel was the hero and the victim, and Johnny was a bully douchebag.
Yeah.
And this show just totally changes that.
Reverses it. Yeah.
They both, well, I wouldn't say reverses it, but it changes it to where they both have bad and good in them, you know? So they're balanced out.
And like when the yoga women, a simple example is when the yoga women came in and like, we need to change the energy in here. And they put up that sign right over strike first, strike hard. They put love is here to namaste.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, let's see, in the Karate Kid movie, Daniel was from Reseda, the other side of the tracks. And he went, and Allie was from Encino Hills or something. And he went to pick her up for their date at the Encino Oaks Country Club. And that's when he got spaghetti all over him and laughed at. And, you know, it's like just the rich and the poor. And now that's reversed, where now Johnny lives in Reseda and Daniel lives in Encino Hills. And that's where he takes that convenience store owner to dinner at the Encino Oaks Country Club. Oh, so now yeah, he's right. A member there.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Good points. Get
reversed and flipped. Script gets flipped.
Yeah.
The script, yeah.
I think they've been doing a pretty good job on the writing. So I guess my number one's about the writing and how they're bringing everything, on a scale. Everything's sort of equaling out. So at the end of each episode, you're like, hey, what's going to happen next, man?
Yeah, because you know, you're right. If something happens that seems like it's going to resolve it, then something else happens so that it won't be resolved. Things
right,
like that.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Awesome. Good number one, Rich. Jay, what's your number one?
Mine is Daniel Chills Out, which we've talked a little bit about. Like, I agree. I think it's great that Daniel's wife is the voice of reason in this. And it continues later on too. Some scenes I'm remembering that I really liked, but I liked when she said, wait, you're telling me the whole Zakarian dinner was just some convoluted plot so you could raise the rent on your childhood karate rival? I'm like, well, when you put it like that, it does sound kind of silly. He's like, listen, the guy spray painted a dick on my face.
Maybe.
So what? He's an asshole. Don't let him turn you into one. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. And I also
good
like
advice.
She said, I married, you know, I want the Daniel that I married to come back, which lets you know that he's not always like that. You know, it's something new that seeing Cobra Kai kind of brought out in him. But it is, you can align it with some of the things he did in the Karate Kid movie, like you guys are saying, being a hothead or seeking payback and stuff like that. So it's not totally out of left field for his character.
Yeah, because he went after Cole at first when he thought he was the one responsible for painting the dick on his billboard, and that didn't have really anything to do with Johnny. So,
well, he also didn't like that he copied his ideas in his commercial and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. So still, payback.
Yeah. Yep. So, then when he went to Miyagi's grave for perspective, it was just because, seeing him be an asshole towards Johnny in the convenience store, there's a part of me that loves that because I think it's really good storytelling. And I just love how this show balances things out, like you were saying, Rich, and makes people more fully formed characters. Yeah. But I also, you know, Daniel is the hero in my mind from loving the Karate Kid for so many years. And so when he went to Miyagi's grave and he just, you know, he could tell, he said, "My anger is controlling me. I've let my anger take control." And that, it was just nice that, oh, here's the Daniel that I think is a good person sort of trying to write things. And so that was just a good scene for me for a few different reasons. I mean, also it was just really touching to see him go and see his old teacher's grave and stuff like that. So he cleans out the room that they use for storage to make it into a karate studio. And then the whole thing about Robbie showing up. Well, Daniel is longing to teach someone, which I think is really cool, too. Like, I could totally get that, like, that impulse to want to pass on your knowledge or just do karate with somebody else. And nobody wants to. Sam, Anthony, his wife, don't want to. So Robbie showing up there is another way that the show's sort of balancing out, because they're a good fit, because Daniel wants someone to teach. And we saw, you know, Robbie's mom is not paying him any attention. He's like longing for a company, and she's going out on dates and bringing a guy home for sex. And she tells him that Johnny had mentioned something about Robbie moving in with him. So I think he was sort of thinking, maybe there's something there for me. Like, mom's not giving me what I need. Maybe dad could. But then he goes over there and he sees Johnny hugging Miguel, and he's like, oh, great. He cares about this kid, but not me. So then when he goes to work at LaRusso Auto, I do think that was purely for revenge on his dad, because he was mad at seeing that. But also, I liked, you know, Daniel yells at him for moving the car in the showroom floor while everyone's there. What's the matter with you? But then Daniel immediately goes out, apologizes, turns on the LaRusso charm and smooths it out, shows him how to punch, apologizes, asks him about himself, and even teases him a little bit. All right, I'm going to go back inside and announce this "sorry you almost got killed" sales event. I'll see you in a minute. And I think that did charm Robbie, and he was impressed that this guy cared enough to come out and apologize to him. And then when he goes to his house, I mean, it was pretty dumb of Robbie to fall for Louis's second gag, bringing sales reports to Daniel's house.
For sure.
but they were just trying to figure out a way to get him there, I think. But anyways, you know, it was pretty cool that these two come together, Daniel, who's looking for someone to teach, and Robbie, who's looking for a father figure. And now they're together. I mean, I don't know if Robbie really wants to learn, or he just likes the idea of getting closer to Daniel because that's part of his plan to fuck with his dad. But I think it's probably a bit of both, you know?
Yeah.
He's definitely seeking a father figure.
Yeah. He's lacking that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Robbie's moving up on the call sheet, isn't he?
And Daniel doesn't even know that that's Johnny's son.
Mm-mm. No, that's right, huh?
Yeah. No. I just don't love that actor, but I like the storyline.
Oh, really? What's your beef with him?
I mean, I don't hate him, but just the way he acts, he has these kind of odd mannerisms.
Oh, yeah. He does have that strange smile.
Yeah.
Kind of like a shit-eating grin.
Distracting to me.
Ever since Rima pointed out his haircut, though, I've noticed that. Like, yeah. What's up with that stupid haircut?
You're welcome. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, from Growing Pains. Oh gosh, yeah. Sorry about that. It bugs me. Yeah, I'm with you, Jason. I can't quite pinpoint exactly what it is, but there's just something about that kid. I don't know. And I can't picture him as Johnny Lawrence's son. Just something about him. So I don't know.
But it's a good story, though. I think
it is a good story.
It fits in with the whole balance thing, where Johnny's teaching Miguel, and now Daniel's teaching Johnny's son. You know, I mean, maybe if Johnny was teaching Samantha, then it would just be too neatly tied up.
Yeah, I agree. If it fits for sure with the a counterbalance to Johnny teaching Miguel, you know, who's a really sweet kid, you know, sweet and fairly well balanced, but you know, happens to get maybe not the best karate teacher in Johnny Lawrence, who's very aggressive and, you know, kind of teaches him to be really aggressive when maybe that's not always the way that you should be. And then you have Johnny's kid. I'll never remember his name. I'm terrible with names.
Robbie.
But Robbie, thank you. You know, who's a troublemaker and has like not so great friends and good influences in his life, but then stumbles upon Daniel, who's a good person. I mean, he's a little bit of a hothead. I mean, he's maybe a little bit not great about trying to get a little payback and stuff, but he's a good person and, you know, really wants to help people and, you know, kind of takes him under his wing. So that's kind of a little counterbalance there too with that. And it's kind of nice that Daniel wants to kind of pass on. I think it's a nice way to kind of pass on what Miyagi taught Daniel. You know, if Daniel doesn't pass it on to anyone, then it kind of just dies with him, right? That would be kind of sad.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I know he taught Sam, but she doesn't seem interested anymore. That seemed to be more when she was a kid. His son doesn't seem the karate type at all and clearly is not interested. So I think this really just gives him an opportunity to pass along what he learned, because it'd be sad.
One thing I don't know, and I feel like this impacts my Karate Kid cred, but Miyagi's grave said beloved father, and we do know that his wife lost a son in childbirth, which is one of the things he says when he's drunk in the first movie. But I don't know if he had another child. I didn't think so, and I don't know for sure. To pass along the karate to.
Was Pat Morita in Karate Kid 3?
Yep.
I gotta watch the next two now.
Indeed.
I can remember some of the second one, but I can't remember the third one.
I know, or at least I read a while back that the third season of Cobra Kai will at least in part be in Okinawa, which is where Karate Kid 2 takes place. So I kind of wonder if it might call back to some of the plot points in 2, in which case if we can find the time, maybe we could cover that, you know, part 2 on the podcast before we get into season 3.
Yeah. If that's the case, we got to watch it. Huh?
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Yep. All about timing. Awesome. Did you have anything else for your number one, Jay?
Nope.
Okay. Mine, again, kind of short and sweet. I liked that just when Johnny kind of needed to have, you know, some paying customers, he gets that in Miguel when that video goes viral and he gets all this free advertising. That's the way of it, right? These videos get posted on social media, YouTube, whatever. And now he's got a whole slew of kids. And that's because of Miguel fighting in the cafeteria, which again, I loved, thought it was a really great fight scene, but I couldn't help but, you know, we had a good callback to Miyagi here, in the episode and, or in at least one of the episodes, and I guess kind of both, where he kind of echoes and we see it, we don't see it. We saw the balance scene. But anyway, what was kind of echoing in my head anyway was that in that scene when Miguel approaches Kyler and his friends, you know, I can hear Miyagi say, "You don't train to fight, you train so you don't have to fight." And which is a vast difference from what Johnny kind of teaches, you know, Miguel. And how Daniel was kind of taught. So I thought, you know, how interesting that might have been had it went the other way. But Johnny got more kids to show up for karate, and he now has his quiver of cobras that he's now ready for them to train. So I think it's kind of a nice setup to kind of see what happens now that he's got a fairly full dojo.
Yeah,
like what, like let's say Miyagi was a teenager and he was in Miguel's position and he saw this girl, Sam, who he liked getting bullied at school by Kyler. What would he do? I don't know if he would just start punching Kyler, but I would imagine he would at least go up and tell him to stop. And then if Kyler attacked him, he would fight back, you know?
Mm-hmm. But so I think
it's pretty much the same thing Miguel did.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it might be in more of a self-defense more than kicking ass, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was pretty aggressive, which is okay, but...
I mean, Miyagi put those Cobra Kai out of commission.
He sure did.
They were laying on the floor quivering.
Yeah, they were yep. messed up the next day, too.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. Yep.
In real life, I think Miguel would have been kicked out of school.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I feel like so many, and my kid has been out of school for a little while, so I don't know, I don't keep up with like what's rules today, but I feel like there was a lot of zero tolerance for that, or you get suspended or something.
Totally. I mean, like if you get in a fight with one person and then it's, you know, convoluted, one person's story against another, then they'll just suspend both people. But you get one kid that mm-hmm. kicks everyone's ass like that, he's out.
Well, yeah. I'm glad, you know, it's a show, and I don't want it to be too true to life. Like, that would be a bummer if Miguel got kicked out of school on the show.
Yeah, yeah. No, this show is totally like a fantasy show. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You need that.
Well, I thought it was funny when he told Johnny, when he's, you know, recanting the story to Johnny, and he's like, it's okay, you know, my grandma answered the phone, and she was really proud of me, so it's all good.
Yeah, you
know?
She loved it.
It's funny.
Grandma.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. That's all that I had for my number one. What about notes? Rich, did you have any notes?
I thought it was funny when Johnny was explaining after his class had gotten smaller why he was being a jerk and why he was picking on them. You know, we already went over that, but as he was saying it, he was like, I was a weirdo loser just like you guys, but not that weird. I still hooked up with babes.
Right.
He threw that in there. That's real hilarious. Quick.
That's kept going, hilarious.
Like a subliminal message or something.
But that was he had been insulting all of them, and Miguel for the first time showed some disappointment in him, and he's mm-hmm. all, and Johnny's like, they're all losers. And so then when he, I don't remember what exactly he was looking at that brought back memories, but he remembered feeling like a loser himself because of his dad. And so that was what changed. Like, he goes back into his class and he goes, I've been really tough on you guys and I'm not sorry. I'm not apologizing. But, and then the part that changed was now he sort of could find a place in himself where he identified with them. And that, I think that probably made all the difference for the kids. So no more would quit because he's like, I've been through what you're going through and I'm going to help you guys.
Yeah.
You know, versus you guys are all losers.
Yeah. It was his little Walkman that he, like in the beginning of that second episode, it shows him as a little
playing
kid. Boston. Yep. And then at the dinner table when, and it's a stepdad, just to make sure that everyone's clear
right,
on that.
Right, yeah.
His stepdad, who's really down on him, right, and kind of bullies him and is not so nice to him and just, you know, calls him socially awkward. Well, probably worse than that, but I'll just say socially awkward. And he, you know, and then his mom and Sid start to fight, so he pops in his Walkman again to kind of drown it out, which I think many of us have done when your parents are fighting in the house or something, and you pop in the music. And
that just sort of solidifies his love of 80s rock because it also helps him
escapism.
Escape from...
Yeah,
total. That actor that was playing his stepdad talked just like Ed Asner. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Well, it probably was Ed Asner's voice.
Oh.
But they didn't want to show his face because he was...
supposed to be a younger version of himself. Yeah.
he says fine, I'll make the check out to garbage because that's where it's going to end up.
Yep.
Reminds me of my grandfather. He used to say stuff like
sounds that. Like something Al Bundy would say.
You know, yep. the first scene in the episode 5 was Miguel getting up out of bed to some 80s music, and then the first thing he does is does push-ups. I'm like, I was envious. I was like, man, I wish I could do that. First thing I do when I get out of bed is go to the bathroom.
Mm.
He's doing
you can do it.
Push-ups, and he's got the whole Rocky montage of working out with the Cobra Kai. Pretty cool. It was a high-energy beginning to that. I enjoyed that.
Could have been like a little 80s kind of...
Yeah.
Like you said, Rocky montage. Yeah. Yeah, I don't do that either. I don't wake up. I don't know how people get up out of bed and start working out. That doesn't happen around here. But
I'm not a morning person.
Uh-oh. Do you have any other notes?
That's it for notes. No, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Jay, got any notes?
Yeah, a couple funny lines. We talked about some, but I liked when Armand, the property owner guy, you want me to scratch your balls? How are you going to scratch my balls?
Yeah.
That's not the expression. It's back. Or when he's like, he turns Daniel down. No deal. He goes, fine, then enjoy pissing in your own shower. Everybody does it.
Ew. I was wondering what he meant whenever he's like, well, that's why we wear flip-flops in the shower, right? And I'm like, oh God, what's he doing in the shower? Ew. Gross.
Or when Johnny goes to the pawn shop. All right, what about this Nintendo? It's an Atari.
Yeah.
Clearly. There were a few others, but I mentioned I like Miguel and Sam and just how they're getting them together. Like Miguel, well, first defends her honor and then offers to take her into the group in science class, and she thanks him for helping her and then gives him some karate tips, which is pretty cute. And then I liked when she mentions the rumors about her and he said, oh yeah, stupid rumors, people call me Rhea. And she goes, not anymore, which I thought was nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he sends her that pig gif saying, science is murder. Why did you dissect me? Which made her laugh.
It was funny in class when she's like, hey, you guys want some of these bananas? People keep putting them in my bag.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. When Johnny and Miguel leave the mat to go talk about, because Johnny just refused to let Aisha in the class, and Miguel's like, can we talk about this? And they leave the mat. They both turn and bow towards the mat. And I guess that's just a common martial arts thing. I know that's what they do in Nico's kung fu class. You do it in Krav Maga too?
Not in Krav, because it's not a part of Krav, but they do it in Taekwondo and the other disciplines that are taught there at my school. They all bow getting on the mat, and when they leave, they turn and bow. It's sign of respect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I thought that was cool. I like little details like that.
Yep.
Another kind of flip the script thing at the end when now newly named Hawk comes in with his mohawk and Johnny's like, see this? That's badass. Mm-hmm. You know, then the mood is high and he repeats the lines that Kreese used to say, fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei, pain does not exist in this dojo. Class, are you ready to learn the way of the fist? Yes, sensei. And that's an emotional flip the script, because when that dialogue is spoken in Karate Kid, it signifies like an ominous moment, like, oh my God, what are they teaching here? And Daniel's like nervous and everything. And here it's kind of triumphant, like, yeah, kick ass, things are going well. And maybe it's also a little ominous, but you know, it's different feeling. I think it's cool.
Situational.
I thought it was funny when Johnny said to Aisha, okay, I've decided to allow female students, but if you want to be in Cobra Kai, you can't act like a girl. She goes, what do you mean? How do girls act? Oh, don't give me that. You know, all emotional, loud, complainy, never letting you finish a sentence. She goes, well, I knew a few guys who act just quiet.
Right. Okay.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I guess that's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I kind of like that. I mean, he's trying. Like I said, no, he's misguided as hell, and he's still not the greatest teacher that those kids need. But I feel like, you know, teaching them to be confident and, you know, standing up for themselves and not allowing themselves to be bullied like that is not a terrible thing. It's just,
yeah,
he's not going about
it. It's just slightly off.
Yeah.
But it's not black and white, which is how this series improves or changes on the original. I wouldn't say improves, but updates.
Exactly. Good point.
I'm glad Samantha's not hanging out with the mean girls anymore.
Ugh. Me too. That drove me crazy.
Those mean girls are like a bunch of Karens in training.
You can't say Karens on the Podcastica network.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. Yeah.
I'm kind of teasing.
It's I was just referring to the label that the news media is.
No, you're right, but our Karen happens to be the exception to the
Karens.
I mean,
I have seen her asked to speak to the manager a few times.
Has she?
No.
That, I'm just kidding.
No. You're going to get it for that.
Tell her you said that.
I know.
Tell her you said that. Oh, gosh. I think we covered all of my notes, so if that's all that we have, we'll take a little break and then be right back. So we're back, and I just have one small item for this week. And Richard, this might help you out a little bit. You were kind of talking about this earlier, so I don't know when the last time everyone's practiced waxing on and waxing off, or maybe painting the fence, sanding the floor. But now,
last night,
Oh, well, good. See, there you go. You're ready to start your training then. So, but good news: the Karate Kid trilogy is now streaming on Netflix.
Yay. Oh, cool.
So yeah, we hear, check it. As of today, it is out there. The first three films, which is the first step for the streaming service's Karate Kid takeover, in quotes. Netflix recently purchased the rights to Cobra Kai, which I think we had that bit of news last week that Cobra Kai is moving from YouTube now to Netflix. So in that move, they've also went ahead and taken the Karate Kid movies. So that television series, Cobra Kai, will be serving as a sequel to the franchise. The first two seasons of Cobra Kai will arrive on the service sometime towards the end of the year. Boo. And season three will premiere sometime after that. So it looks like we've got a little bit of time to wait for the first two seasons to be added to Netflix. And hopefully soon after they add it, we could be looking forward to season three. So I don't know, maybe if that helps kind of with our timing in covering you know, the rest of the series, and maybe if we can fit in the other Karate Kid movies. But hey, Karate Kid is available for everyone on Netflix right now. So there you go, yeah. Rich.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I had trouble finding it before. Now it's right there.
That's sure there. Is. Wait a minute. Did you say you have an idea of when seasons one and two are going to be on there and when three is coming out?
They wouldn't give dates. They say that Cobra Kai will arrive sometime towards the end of the year, and season three will premiere sometime after that. So,
so we don't even know if it's this year, huh?
No. I know. This. Hey, guys, welcome to the world of Netflix. This is the world I live in whenever I cover things, because we cover a lot of Netflix shows on Strange Indeed. And so whenever we're waiting for that next season to hit, you know, they are so flipping vague. And then all of a sudden, oh, guess what? Here's the show. And we're like, oh, my gosh. So it really, really hurts with the timing when you're covering one show and another one comes out. And so, yeah, welcome to Netflix, guys.
Wow.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe yep. It'll be a Christmas release.
You never know.
It'd be cool. Yeah.
I wish they'd figure out how to do it sooner. I mean, I know that these deals don't happen overnight, unfortunately, but man, I feel like it would just be really great for more folks to have access to Cobra Kai. I feel like that's just what the world needs right now.
Is season three finished? I mean, did they film it or are they still filming?
They said it's done. It is It is in the bag. So I'm like, what are we waiting on? You know?
Yeah, right.
Let's do that. But yeah. As far as what I've read anyway, and I mean, unless someone finds something to counter that, it's supposed to have been completed. All right. Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you'd like to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email us at waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
Be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Next episode of this podcast, Cobra Kai Season 1, 7, and 8. So two episodes again, All Valley and Molting.
All Valley like the tournament?
I don't know.
That's Yeah, what is that? You know, I would guess that it All Valley is the tournament, so I bet you the tournament, another tournament will come up. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something to showcase.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be a tournament next week, but probably they'll start training for it or something like that.
I bet it'll come up kind of like in Karate Kid when they were in the Cobra Kai dojo and had the poster up, and you'll see we need to start training for that or something, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool. Can't wait. All right. That's our show.
Thanks for
quiet.